I'd like to call the March 19th, 2007 session of the House Workforce and Economic Development Committee to order. Good morning, everyone. The first bill that we're going to be hearing is House Bill 2809. And Ellen, would you please give us a brief summary of that?
Thank you, Chair Witt, members of the committee. House Bill 2809 adds to the list of principles that the Economic and Community Development Department must follow in investing state resources. It expands the legislative declaration concerning immediate economic strategy of the state, and it requires OECDD to ensure that recipients of state funds for workforce, housing, and public transit development projects consider and plan for access to quality, affordable child care.
Thank you, and I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2809 and call up first, please, Representative Kotek. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Monday, everyone. Chair Witt, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44, North and Northeast Portland. Thank you for starting out your Monday morning talking about a topic near and dear to my heart, which is child care and its relation to economic development. Before you today, you have House Bill 2809, and I'll just say up front, this is a piece of legislation that is a work in progress. What we're trying to capture here is to put something out there that would require economic development to consider access to quality, affordable child care. And I passed out for everyone a report that was done by the state back in 2005, the economic impact of Oregon's child care industry. This came out during the frenzy of the last session, so I'm not sure everybody saw this. So I wanted to make sure, pass it out again. And call your attention to page 19, which is where the recommendations begin. This report is groundbreaking in that it looks at how child care not only keeps people working but creates jobs, the economic domino effect throughout communities in terms of even being an export industry because it's supporting parents who are in export-producing industries. And so one of the things that came out of this report was the first recommendation, which was to integrate child care into economic development planning. In my district, we had a large new housing project go in, New Columbia, which had a lot of federal funds. But one of the things I found out was, even though they've built a new elementary school right by the housing project, they hadn't really talked about providing increased access to early childhood education. And so it got me to thinking that we're missing part of the picture here when we start bringing in employers or building new housing projects or transit projects. My district has the Interstate MAX line, so there's a lot of development along that MAX line, but have we looked at, are there child care facilities, child care providers along that MAX line, so if people are commuting, they have a place to take their kids before they go downtown? And so what this bill attempts to do is figure out how we can, during the course of planning at both the state and local levels, ask folks to look at child care availability. It's a first step, and I know you're going to hear from Bob Repine from the department about some of their concerns, and I'm open to any suggestions. My goal is to make sure that we have child care as a topic at the discussion when we are doing any kind of economic development planning. And let me see if I have any other comments for you, if you have any questions for me. I think the important part to remember, excuse me a second.
Do we have coffee?
We're handing out also some sections from a report that was done out of Cornell University that talks a little bit more about the relationship between child care and economic development planning. And, you know, it reaches all levels. It's the parents, it's the employers. And I think I'll just stop right there and see if there are any questions specifically about the bill.
Representative Kotek, I understand that you may be offering testimony for the other bills that we have up today as well.
That is correct. And I can be here till 8:30, so.
Why don't I, would you like to testify on those other bills here and get that over with, and then you can be on your way?
Yeah, and can we?
With Representative Flores as well. What I'm going to do here is, in addition to the the public hearing that is presently open on House Bill 2809. I'm going to also temporarily open a public hearing on House Bills 2810 and 2811. Welcome, Representative Flores.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, and thank you very much. I was just in the process of sending up a note to ask if you would, in fact, open a joint hearing, so I appreciate that. By way of background, I served on the State Child Care Commission for the past few years, and last session we worked on some very we worked very hard as a commission to adopt some significant legislation to encourage employers to cover child care expenses for their workers. We worked on extending the sunset on a program known as the Oregon Dependent Child Care Tax Credit. And we, last session, were successful in passing a law to exempt those child care expenses paid by employers for unemployment taxes. This session, we're focused on child care contribution tax credit. And this is currently available to families struggling to afford quality child care and hold down a job. House Bill 2810 lifts the sunset on this important law, which is currently scheduled to expire at the end of 2008. This tax credit is very popular with businesses and individuals, and I believe it is truly making a difference in the quality and quantity of child care in Oregon. House Bill 2811 expands the child care tax credit by lifting the current limit of $500,000. This program is one of only a handful in the state with a limit on how much is available for the tax credit. Around $667,000 is now distributed annually to pilot programs around the state, helping to reduce the cost of low-income families and enhance the quality of child care. There are others here today from the Child Care Commission and the Child Care Division who will be able to fill in all the details because it's somewhat complex and assist in answering the any questions that you might have. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I hope you will see these measures as a smart move toward helping Oregon's working families make ends meet while providing quality child care for their families. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Kotek, did you...
Thank you, Chair. But again, for the record, Tina Kotek, Representative, House District 44, North and Northeast Portland. I, too, am here today in support of the Child Care Contribution Tax Credit Bills 2811 and 2810. And I just want to point out I'm very pleased to be co-sponsoring these bills as well as the other bill with Representative Flores because child care is a bipartisan issue. And not only does it affect families, again, it affects employers. And the contribution tax credit has been an innovative approach to putting some public dollars into looking at how do we build our system in a way that provides not only access to care, but quality early childhood education that is affordable and also provides for the professional development of the child care providers. We need to retain child care providers. They need to be. One of the things that I think is most difficult for families is the instability in child care providers, having to switch providers if, you know, either because of cost or the providers go out of business. And that's very difficult, not only for the family's schedule, but on the child in terms of stability. So very supportive of the tax credits. I think, you know, you will hear from others. They really are going a long way to getting at those issues. And so I think we should continue them and take off some of the limits that we set in the previous session. Okay, thank you.
And, Mr. Chair, I think I failed to properly introduce and, for the record, enter my name, and that is, my name is Linda Flores. I'm State Representative for House District 51.
And we're so pleased to have you here before our committee this morning. Questions or comments from our committee members? Yes, Vice Chair Riley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. First of all, I apologize for coming in while you're speaking, but tax credit. It's one of the good ones, and I'm really pleased to see this lifting these limits. I am, however, a little problematic for me to do away with sunsets. I would much prefer to extend that sunset for another 6 to 10 years. But I understand that this is a great program, and I'll be supporting these bills.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Riley, I appreciate that comment, and I know there oftentimes is concern about lifting of sunsets. The incentive, however, to businesses and individuals who would invest in these credits is a good one when they know that it is not going to be going away soon. And so to lift it and provide the opportunity for long-term investment and planning, I think, is what we're trying to achieve by lifting of that sunset. So hopefully that will factor into your thinking.
May I follow up too?
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Riley. And I understand those concerns absolutely. When we worked on the dependent care tax credit in the 2005 session, that bill originally had no sunset, and then I think it was amended to have a 10-year sunset. Mm-hmm. If you do decide on a sunset, or if you make that recommendation to revenue, let's try to be generous, because I do think, like Representative Flores said, it's that planning, being able to not only promote the credits, but having individual investors, businesses, and individual investors buy into it. They need to have that sense that it's going to be there for a while. So I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Yes, Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representatives, thank you for bringing this bill forward. I've been aware of some of the issues around working families and child care being a big issue for people being able to participate in our economy and being able to make a decent living. So I really appreciate bringing these bills forward. I got a question about how we do the outreach to families around these issues. Is that strictly done through Children and Family Services, or can you tell me what kind of agencies can help families understand what programs and what tax credits are available to them? Because oftentimes these families really aren't aware of these potential programs or tax credits that are there to help them.
Chair Witt and Representative Holby, that's an excellent question. You know, it depends on the credit. I've been very pleased with what Department of Revenue has been doing around our nationally recognized working family child care tax credit, which is now a refundable credit. It's used heavily. So most of that obviously is done during tax season. The child care contribution tax credit, if I remember correctly, they actually hired a firm to promote those credits, and that was really essential to bring in someone who normally works with investors to promote that credit. So I think they've had total buy-up of the credits, which has been wonderful. In terms of access to families, you have the Oregon Child Care Resource and Referral Network, which is the statewide R&R network, connecting in every county, connecting people with child care. They do get a little bit of public dollars, but that's your primary resource of finding out where child care providers are in your community, and I think they do an excellent job. I don't know if anyone's here today on that issue, but if they are, I would say check in with them for some more info.
And thank you, and Mr. Chair and Representative Holby, I'm going to suggest also that probably a lot of that information would be filled in from representatives who might be here from not only the Child Care Commission but the division.
Vice Chair Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And why couldn't they give 100% of tax credit instead of 75 cents for each dollar they donate? What's the justification for that? Any idea?
I think that those who are experts in that could probably answer that best for you. Representative Kotek and I are here as advocates for the concept and the inner workings and the specifics of those. I think it would be best fleshed out for you by representatives who are here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Representative Dahl.
Yes, I'm looking at the bill, and it says to consider and plan for access to child care. And I'm going through my mind, in the Dalles we had Google. In John Day we had a bowstring factory come in. What does consider and plan for mean?
Chair Witt, Representative Dahl, that's an excellent question. In fact, I gave this, the concept to legislative council, and this is our starting point. And I do think that it actually needs a little more teeth. I'm not quite sure what that means. I'm not familiar with the economic development planning world, and like I said, you're going to hear from Mr. Repine, but I'd be open to suggestions, because the goal is, it's challenging enough to plan for new employers or new projects, But there are listed criteria that people consider when they when they're doing those projects, and I'm just asking that child care be one of those, and whether that's surveying the availability in the marketplace, getting a sense that if we're going to bring in X number of new employees with potentially a certain number of kids under a certain age, then we should make sure, put the call out that that it's an issue, publicize it, encourage people to maybe consider starting a business. So I think there's a lot of options there and what that could actually mean on the ground, but that's something we need to explore, but I appreciate the question.
Additional questions? Thank you both very much, first for bringing these bills forward, and secondly, for turning out at 8 a.m. on a Monday morning to come and talk to our committee about them. Certainly appreciate your efforts on this very important component to economic development. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to call forward the Director of the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department, Bob Repine. And Bob, before you start, are you intending to testify on the three bills?
Mr. Chairman, I'm here to testify on 2809, but could add some comments around some of the tax credits based on some of my past experience about the use of those tax credits.
Okay, I'm going to keep the record open for the three bills. Please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I am Bob Repine, Director of Economic and Community Development for the State of Oregon. Before I talk about 2809, let me go to the tax credit bills that talk about moving or removing or the sunset clause. I wanted to fill in maybe a little bit of the state's cooperation in this effort. Formed in the Housing and Community Services Agency is a interagency group called ICCH, Inter Coordinating Council on Hunger. Which in many ways crosses over hunger issues, housing issues, and child care issues because they have a sense of similarity, quite frankly. My experience with that group over the last 8 years has been, and this is a group that has been meeting for over 8 years now on a regularly monthly basis to talk about child issues and family issues around people who have hunger, which are related to both housing and child care. At the end of every year, that group of agencies work in a very coordinated effort to make sure that there is information being circulated to citizens around the state of Oregon on those child care tax credits. We have used the utility companies to put stuffers in their bills to let people know that those child care credits are available. We have in the past had cooperation with grocery stores to put on the side of the grocery bags that child care credits would be available for families also meeting certain income requirements. We have published both in Spanish and English documentation that would allow more Oregonians to understand what child care credits are available. So there has been an ongoing effort by state agencies, which are many who sit at that ICCH table, to make sure that we, the state of Oregon, are promoting and actively finding the people who can use those credits in the way they were designed and defined by the law. And I think that you can see by the past experience as we've been doing that, many more people have been utilizing those tax credits in the past. And so just a little background on some of the information that the state does participate in, and it's not just relying upon the exterior partners, which are extremely important, obviously, but the state also has been trying to be an adding partner to getting information out in any area that they can based on documentation or communications that they do on an ongoing basis. So, Mr. Chairman, if you mind, don't mind, I'll go to House Bill 2809 now. I've had a one-pager circulated to you. I think I have some in the back also for the audience. Again, thank you for the opportunity to discuss House Bill 2809 with you. As it was mentioned by one of the members at the dais, this bill would require that the department to require recipients of economic assistance for the workforce, housing, and public transit development projects to consider and plan for access to child care. The bill raises some questions and concerns by the department and more definitional than anything else. I did have a chance to talk to the representative who has introduced the bill, and obviously we'll have some more communication, I think, after this hearing is concluded. And just briefly, I want to talk about the issues that we have some concerns with. First of all, the department does not have any assistance in public transit development projects, and so the bill suggests that we have some authority or that we don't have, and so that would want to be addressed, I think. The department does have federal community development block grant funds that do include housing. However, the housing resource and funds are worked in a partnership with the Department of Housing and Community Services through a MOU. The Economic Community Development Department implements changes to the federal and state laws through an annual method of operation, method of distribution. And this is done every 5 years with the federal partners. And that method of distribution is also conducted with the community partners to make sure that it's addressing community needs as it pertains to those federal dollars. It's important to note that the state of Oregon only monitors and manages the non-entitlement areas for the CDBG funds, Community Development Block Grant funds. The other funds are direct assigned to those areas that are such as the Portland Marketplace, the Dean Marketplace, and the Medford Marketplace, and the Bend Marketplace. So they can control their own CDBG funds. And so you can see that there is a disconnect between this piece of legislation as it pertains to the funds that we control under Community Development Block Grant and the funds that are controlled by community partners that are the non-entitlement areas. The bill also requires some layering of reporting for the locals and the state of the agency, and so we're somewhat unclear of how we would be able to administer this because there's not a lot of clarity in the bill. The CBDG funds also could have impacts on microenterprise assistance, public works on off-street infrastructures for affordable housing, public and community facilities for domestic violence shelters, emergency and homeless shelters, and transitional housing and regional housing centers. And still, we don't really understand what the relationship to the bill is as it pertains to those investments using CBDG funds. The bill, again, also places some requirements on both the state and local partners as far as the tracking and the requirements of reporting this, and so we need some clarity on what that means, how do we get that information out so it has some value to somebody at the end of the collection of that information. And we, again, are concerned about the, as mentioned by the member on the dais, the concern about the language that says consider and plan for access to child care. We're really unclear what that means and to what degree that somebody would have to follow to comply with this part of the law. And so some clarity there would be very helpful. And then finally, it's really unclear what is meant by workforce. Does workforce apply to all programs administered by the department that have performance measures on jobs and job retention, which is workforce related? So we have some concerns on how far this extends into some of our charges by this assembly to report job and job retention requirements for the agency. And so I think a series of discussions with the member can help clarify these if the committee chooses to move this bill forward.
Thank you very much, Bob. Questions from the committee? Representative Dahl.
Yes, Bob, the same question. The bill, I hear your other concerns, but let's assume that we fix those things up. What does consider and plan for mean to you as you administer this program?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, again, I don't know if I have a clear understanding of how I would read it. I think, as you heard the representative who introduced the bill suggest, that it would involve a goal is to have child care as a topic and doing some form of surveying or assessment of what the child care opportunities are in an immediate area of the project or the point where the work is being completed would be of value. I think the other part that becomes a little interesting to manage for us is funds go out in various sizes, and if it was an infrastructure program, let's say, that's creating job-related issues, would you survey the whole community, or would you only survey the area where the infrastructure was being improved? I understand the spirit of what it's intended to accomplish here, but I don't know how I mechanically get to the answer when you use the words consider. So, again, I think through some further discussions, we can at least try to help define that.
I guess my last experience with a project from your department, communities were supposed to indicate the number of jobs that they had created. So if you were to look at this, then you would ask them to show what they had done to see that child care was available.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I think there is a way you could get to information at the end of the day when we do require the reporting of either jobs created or jobs retained based on our investments. But the other issue is when you create a job at one place, as you all, we all are aware of, that people come from literally tens of 20 or 30 miles away from those jobs. And the question is, how do you ring the child care services that would be germane to the people who are the employees, possibly, when they live as far as 30 to 40, could live as far as 30 to 40 miles away, and have something that makes sense at the end of the day? So that's, you know, the issue. I think if it was a specific relationship of surveying around the building or a business that we're investing in with a radius around there, you could say within the immediate area of, say, a mile, there are so many child care providers. But if you were to try to say, but the round where all my employees might live, the net would be so wide, I don't know whether or not you could get to a number that would make any sense.
Thank you, Bob.
Vice Chair Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I wanted to ask you, you've had a bit of experience with these kinds of things, and what do you think a reasonable sunset length is to make sure that people feel that this is going to help them for a good period of time?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Riley, regarding a sunset, as you heard the members speak, I think that they're absolutely correct. Business is always looking for certainty in these type of tax credits. So having the ability to remove a sunset is extremely important, because there adds much certainty to the business strategies for industries that would be using that tax credit in the long haul, and I think that that's appropriate. But I also understand the sensitivity of kicking a door down versus just having it swing open where it could swing back or close at some time in the future. On a tax credit like this, I think, give you an example, we have been advocating for a tax credit on one of our programs that would move it from completion in 2009 to 2021. So we were adding an additional 12 years to that tax credit. So, and it's an important tax credit for businesses as well, relative to enterprise zones. So, again, I think if you were getting into the extending it where there's added some level of certainty in the range of anywhere between, say, 10 years upwards to 15 to 16 years, would be considered as a consistent tax credit available for industries.
Thank you. Follow-up, please.
Please.
And as you probably know, there are a few of us who are very concerned about tax credits because of the way that they are created and the way they go away. If there's no sunset, we can create one with a simple majority, but it takes a supermajority to get rid of it. I've never understood why that's true. It's not a new revenue. It's bringing one back that we already have. But that, be that as it may, that's how it's interpreted. So I'm always concerned when we create something with a simple majority that it takes a supermajority to get rid of. And that's why I want to know what is the a reasonable length of sunset. I don't want to take the sunset off, but I want a reasonable length. So you say 10 years to up.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Riley, again, this is not done by any certified SMART process that I use, but I think you would find that when sunset bills who have tax credit implications do come forward to this assembly, when they are being extended, it appears that extending them to a window greater than 10 years does create some sense of reliability by the people who are the users of that, so there is some certainty that the resources would be there for a longer period of time. I think that would probably be something that you could find out from the Revenue Department as what traditionally they have extended sunset clauses. I think in the history of Oregon, if I remember correctly, there's only been one sunset of a tax credit in all the tax credits that have ever been put in place.
That bothers me as well.
Yes, Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for being here this morning, Mr. Repine. I'm curious on House Bill 2809. As I read the bill, do you see this bill as requiring the Economic and Development Department to actually spend money in, promoting child care or plans for child care? And do you also see that it that stops short of asking the recipient of the economic development funds to actually spend money.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Holvey, I think some of the what I don't see there are the questions that still be addressed. I don't know clearly whether or not it would have some implication on the total role of the agency. I read it as to suggest we would have a process within our programs that would either direct or ask participants to do an assessment of some sort as it pertains to child care. To what degree that assessment is, we don't know. And then as it comes back on the user side of it, that the information would be gathered, as you heard the representatives suggest, through a process and then brought back to us. I think the part that I'm more interested in, with collecting all this information, which would be good information to have, I think, if we can figure out exactly what that information should bring back to us, what do we do with it then? What value does the information bring you as the Assembly and us as an agency who really understand the importance of economic development and the stability of the workers who have that we're trying to create those jobs for, and child care is a huge piece of that. And so with the information, the next question is then what? What do you do with the information to add value to either the deliberation process that you do or the economic investments that we make, or where else might that information be of value to other partners in the state of Oregon?
Representative Dolan.
Yes, Bob. When I'm familiar with two programs fairly intimately, how would that put us on the playing field if we gave tax credits for a long term, but then we're inquiring about daycare? And my notion is that we would want to know that our company was interested in daycare, was going to at least inventory available services, and perhaps even provide daycare. But how would that put us when we go out into the competitive world of attracting business talking about daycare? Is that normal? Is that normal and customary? Or would that make us unusual in the pack?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I think it would be a little different than we currently do. I don't know whether or not child care issues raises to the high level of initial discussions either with recruitments we are having today or potentially talking with current businesses that are in Oregon who might be contemplating expansion. I personally believe that it's a discussion that at some level should possibly be had in an indirect discussion point with the company or the customers. Again, this goes back to my housing days, is that I know that a successful economic strategy for the state of Oregon has to also embrace the reality of whether or not there's affordable housing to house the employees for those businesses that are going to come here, and or those businesses who are here who plan on attracting more employees. And I think having information or a discussion with future companies or companies that exist here on the issues about, have you thought about the child care phenomena or the issues that might accompany your employees as they come here, is an important discussion to have. Again, I don't know. Having the discussion is one thing. Collecting the information and doing something with the information is something else I don't have a clear picture on yet.
If we put the shoe on the other foot and said to a company that was thinking about situating in the Dalles, we also have this quality, quantity, and level of child care available, would that be attractive to the business if we did the inventory rather than ask them to?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I think in today's environment, businesses who are either here in the state of Oregon or who are wanting to locate in the state of Oregon have a high interest on their employees. And I think that they realize in the environment that they compete for those employees, they have to do everything that's possible to make it attractive for them to want to work there. I have been following some of the workforce numbers here in the last couple of months, and when you talk about a need in the state of Oregon by the year 2014 of 650,000 new employees, which include new jobs of $250,000 jobs, and the need of 400,000 replacement jobs for we who are retiring, the level of competition for recruiting employees is going to get pretty intense. And I think businesses will start focusing in on these type of topics to use that as a as an attraction to recruit long-term qualified employees for their jobs.
So the incentive would be, if I said to business, if you locate in my community, spray Fossil, the Dalles, we would give you an incentive to provide daycare. I would get a lot further than if I asked them to provide it.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, if my memory serves me correctly, we do already offer incentives for those companies to put a child care facilities in, or at least there was a tax credit. It might have been taken out in the past. I can't remember. But again, I think your example of Spray is a good example. What is marketable and doable in Spray, Oregon, is a considerably different animal than what's doable and accomplishable in Beaverton, Oregon. And I think the piece that we want to be very sensitive is that whatever we ask, that we don't do something that has a detraction from locating in Spray, Oregon, because of either the ability or the inability of a community to have enough child care facilities. I can think of many, many communities in the state of Oregon that, if successfully landing a company there, would not do very well on the child care piece because they probably don't have enough capacity vis-a-vis their citizens, which are small numbers in some of those rural communities, that probably have even a child care network to even start dealing with a potential company coming in. So there is it's a chicken and egg. I think as a business would be coming to a Spray, let's say, that was going to create 100 new jobs, I think it would be incumbent upon the state of Oregon to have an assessment of with those jobs that you create, what would be the child care needs, because it will happen just as much. What are the housing needs as it pertains to those employees, too? Very complex issues on recruitment on the surface seems to be pretty no-brainer, but underlying all that recruitment of businesses is a interesting complex process of underlying issues that should be addressing.
Thank you.
Representative Durant. Thank you, Chairwoman. This is kind of following up a little bit what Representative Dahlin was saying, and actually kind of went into where I was going. I think what I heard from the representatives versus what I read in the bill were two quite different things. What I thought they were kind of saying is that if you had Company A and Company B, they were both desirable to go into a cluster, and you were considering financing or giving economic development money to one of them, that perhaps priority would be given to those that would be offering child care, and that would be offered as part of this evaluation on the wage part of the job or something to that effect. That wouldn't be too hard for you to do, right?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, it wouldn't be difficult. However, in the process or methodology that we use at the agency, we don't have a place where Company A and B and Company B come in simultaneously to compete against each other. We are open for business as Company A comes in and deal with them as an applicant, and as Company B comes in, we deal with them as an applicant, and C and D and so forth. So we don't really ever have a place where you would have more of competing round or consolidated funding round where you say, okay, the window is open for this period of time. All companies come and compare your wares against each other, and we'll pick the one that delivers the best. In the environment in Oregon, we are open for business for every company that comes in whatever process and time they come to this state.
It's a buyer's market.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Spray. We just love to have Company A.
Interesting.
Anyone else? Bob, thank you very, very much. Before you leave, would you be willing to work with Representatives Kotek and Flores to perhaps clear up some of the questions that you've surfaced?
Mr. Chairman, we'd be happy to meet with the members and have those discussions on those issues.
Representative Flores, if after you've worked on that, if you'd please let me know, I'd be very appreciative. I know two of our bills, 2810 and 2811, have subsequent referrals to revenue, so those probably will need faster attention.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and again, for the record, Linda Flores, State Representative, House 51.
Thank
you very much, and Representative Kotek and I will be working with Mr. Repine to address the questions and probably tweak the language significantly as is appropriate. And I would also just advise you that there are members here from Child Care Commission Division to speak to House Bills 28, 10, and 11.
Great.
So before you close the public
Thank you very much. And while I haven't polled anyone formally on the committee, I am getting a flavor. I'll probably count me in among those of a reluctance to go with a complete removal of the sunset. So that may be a consideration.
Certainly,
as well.
And we understand, and we're happy to work with that as well.
Great. Thank you so very much, both of you, for coming out this morning. We certainly appreciate it. I have Kathy Kaufman from Children First and Heidi McGowan from the Oregon Commission on Child Care, who are both signed up for both bills. So if you would please come forward. All three bills, actually.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kathy Kaufman. I'm the Policy and Communications Director for Children First for Oregon. We're a statewide child advocacy organization that's been around for 15 years, and we work to protect the safety, stability, security, and health of Oregon's children. And I won't take a lot of your time, but I'm here to voice Children First support for the consideration of child care access for families when it comes to economic and workforce development planning. House Bill 2809, as well as House Bill 2810 and 2811, we believe, are the right thing to do for Oregon's families. Across the country, there is increasing recognition of the economics importance of child care. The report that was handed out to the committee by Representatives Kotek and Flores details this. To hit some highlights, the child care industry generates more than $639 million in gross annual revenues, employs at least 14,000 Oregonians and nearly 8,000 small businesses. The industry supports all other industries by keeping over 90,000 parents on the job who earn $2.6 billion annually. So clearly, child care matters. It matters to the well-being of families, it matters to the well-being of children, and it also matters to the well-being of Oregon's economy. Therefore, we think that it is reasonable that consideration of the needs, of the child care needs of a community be considered in any economic and workforce planning. I'd also like to speak just very briefly to House Bill 2810 and 2811. Children First does support removing the sunset date on the income tax. We understand there's some concern about that on the committee. But I want to stress that this program is an innovative program. It does an excellent job of taking private dollars and putting them into the child care industry. And what's nice about this program, to speak to the question raised by Representative Lim in earlier testimony, is that the 75 cents on the dollar tax credit, it helps businesses buy in to the importance of child care to their business. And I think what we're seeing more and more is that the needs of children and the needs of businesses are really one and the same. And the more that we can see those two things as needing to work together, I think the better off our families will be and the better off our economy will be. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Heidi.
Thank you. Chair, Representative Witt, and members of the committee, my name is Heidi McGowan, and I'm the Executive Officer of the Oregon Commission for Child Care. I'm here on behalf of the volunteer chair, Rosetta Wongren, who wasn't able to be here today, unfortunately. The Commission for Child Care is an 18-volunteer member board that's appointed by the governor, the Speaker of the House, and the President of the Senate as an advisory body on the issues of child care, on the issues of problems that affect child care and the solutions related to affordable, quality child care in Oregon. We're here to urge you to support House Bill 2809, 2810, and 2811. And as Representative Kotek already highlighted in relationship to 2809, and we've already heard wonderfully, this report the Commission for Child Care was involved with when Governor Kulongoski released it in 2005. Exciting to take an issue like child care and quantify it and put numbers into the benefits that child care is providing Oregon's economy. As we've already noted, child care is truly an infrastructure that enables the tens and thousands of our parents to work. That is the supporting Oregon's economy. In looking at and flipping now to 2810 and 2811, this legislation is something that was very innovative that the legislature passed in 2003. The Commission for Child Care has been very active in following this legislation and the programs that it's benefiting, and we actually have a couple of providers here who are personally benefiting from the program who will share with you the results of it. On the one pager that I handed out, there's a few details. I tried to keep it very condensed to consolidate it into one page, and I just want to highlight to you at the bottom of the page some results. Since this legislation was enacted, it's been exciting to observe private citizens contribute to child care. What a great public-private partnership that's happening right now as private citizens contribute, receiving a tax credit, and with a budget of $513,000, over 700 children have received quality child care while their parents worked. The first demonstration project was awarded to Lane County. The second one is currently starting in Multnomah County. And by the passage of 2810 and 2811, we'll be able to continue these programs in enabling our parents to work while their children are in quality care. The Commission for Child Care is a resource to you. We're here. We hope you use us in the future, and we just look forward to working with you. We do have a couple of members from Employment Department who might be able to answer questions in the future as well. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. Vice Chair Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to emphasize that I'm not opposed to this tax credit. I think it's a good one. And I want to make sure that everyone understands that I believe that there are some very good tax credits. There are some tax credits which aren't so very good, and there are some which have outlived their usefulness. And it's those other two categories that are a problem. We don't know at any given time when any tax credit will outlive its usefulness. And I'm not the only person to decide that. There are lots of people who have to decide that. And so my concern is that we treat all tax credits the same, and that is give us the opportunity to make sure that these are still useful. And that's why I'm really opposed to removing sunsets on any tax credits. I just want to make that clear. Thank you.
Yes, Representative Gerard.
Thank you, Chair Witt. Actually, I'm kind of the opposite, I guess. I probably speak for the minority here. I like the cause, and so the stability of the workforce and the stability of the tax credit is usually paramount for businesses to take it up. So if you put like a 10-year sunset on it, then that works for maybe the first two or three years, but as you approach the sunset date, then the stability goes away. So if you had your druthers, you would prefer the sunset to just go away, right?
Chair Witt, Representative Gerard, yes. Although I don't often like to say how reasonable the argument against my argument is, but in this case, I will say that. However, our preference, I think you're underscoring the important points that the more stable the tax credit is, the more likely that more businesses will buy into it and be able to count on it for the long haul, and therefore we do support, our preference is to remove the sunset.
Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if you could comment on another tax credit that I think is also available, and I guess I was thinking that it sort of tries to accomplish some of the same things, and that's the working family tax credit. And is this a complementary, or are they both, do they have different requirements? Maybe you can comment on that.
I'll let you.
Okay. Representative Witt, Representative Hovley. That tax credit, I'm not as familiar with. The Commission for Child Care is very, very focused on the contribution child care tax credit because of its direct impact on child care. So I'm not going to be able to make comparisons.
Chair Witt and Representative Holden, I have to have a disclaimer here. I'm not sure that I'm thinking of the same tax credit that you're speaking to, but if this is the credit where businesses are able to receive a credit for providing on-site daycare, is that the same No. Okay. No, my apologies. My understanding of the tax credits that are available around child care, there are credits available to working families to help offset the extremely high costs of care in Oregon. And there are also tax credits that serve as an incentive for businesses to provide either on-site care or some kind of support to their employees. The tax credit program does something else. So it would be sort of the third leg of a support for child care in Oregon. It encourages businesses to not just do something that's going to benefit their employees, but to invest in child care as an industry in Oregon. The dollars that are contributed are not tied to a specific locality. As was mentioned in other testimony, they go to support demonstration projects to show how child care could work if we really funded it well, if we made sure that all the kids who were receiving it were actually receiving quality care, and if we invested in the professional development of the people who are providing the care.
Representative Dahlen.
What is the percentage of businesses that now participate in offering child care? Do you have any notion of what that might be?
Representative Witt and Representative Dahlen, are you referring to facilities that provide on-site child care? I do not have that figure. It's possible we have someone from the Employment Department who may. Do you, Michelle?
No.
We would need to follow up that information for you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Vice Chair Lim.
I want to make one comment. Thank you for your testimony. And we are removing that the sunset date, also the removal of the amount. And I think it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I agree with the Vice Chair Riley. Instead of removing two of them, at least one need to be there to check it out, mm-hmm. how it's going to go, and then maybe 10 years, whatever. And then we need to revisit at the time. So I'm not quite comfortable removing all of it. At least one need to be there, either amount or the sunset.
Representative Witt, Representative Lim, I appreciate your comments. And one of the advantages of the Child Care Contribution Tax Credit is that when people contribute, they contribute to the Child Care Fund managed by the Employment Department. And given that that is within their budget, that any changes that occur with this tax credit in the future will be a legislative discussion every session. So it will provide the opportunity for you for all of us to engage in this conversation about how these dollars are best spent to improve child care. So there are already some internal checks and balances, I would call it, that will enable us to work together going forward.
One more comment. I would rather remove that the instead of 75 cents, just the full dollar amount of credit, that could be even better. You know, why do we limit that to 75 cents per dollar? My point. Can you comment on it?
Representative Witt and Representative Lynn, we were just discussing that in the back, and I'm hoping that Kathleen Hines is going to be able to answer that question. It's really a revenue question. Somebody can contribute a dollar, but they will get back a different amount. It's just, I think it's a mathematical amount here. So I'm going to stop before I speak without knowing what I'm talking about, and hopefully Kathleen Hines can answer that question. Thank you.
I have a question that perhaps doesn't pertain directly to any one of these three bills, but I know that if anyone has, the two of you have at least given some thought to this. And while these bills, excuse me, address the needs principally of people who are in the workforce, I'm wondering about those who are either new entrants or re-entrants or possibly marginally attached to the workforce and have some significant challenges, money, time, those sorts of issues. New people coming into a job and having to upgrade their skills, elderly folks, and I am constantly surprised at the number of grandparents who are currently primary care for children, and they're trying to re-enter the workforce. what are we doing in terms of trying to address the needs of these people and child care?
Chair Witt, members of the committee, Chair Witt, you're raising some very important points. Certainly, people who are, for example, transitioning from welfare to work, facing other family crises and trying to overcome those crises and get back into the workforce and make sure that their families can remain strong and successful. And definitely the ever-increasing number of grandparents who are caring for their grandchildren. These are two very pressing problems in Oregon that we do need to make more of an effort to address. This session, reform to the TANF program to do a better job of working with families, a better job of case management to make sure that instead of just worrying about requirements, we're actually worrying about family and child outcomes, and we're figuring out what a family needs, and we're taking some of the knowledge that we have around engagement and empowerment-based practice that we've learned in child welfare and transferring that over to our practice in the TANF program. And certainly also the increases to the employment-related daycare are critical to those families. Additionally, there is a Senate bill, Senate Bill 282, I believe. I may be getting my numbers mixed up, but the JRP bill, as it's known, which would allow for relative caregivers, so mostly grandparents, to receive the same foster payment that non-relative caregivers receive. So right now, Oregon is one of two states that does not provide this form of assistance. There is all sorts of evidence to show that placement with relatives is much better for these kids, and that the relatives, the grandparents who are caring for them, really need the assistance. So I think those efforts will begin the process of addressing those issues very well.
Yes, our committee has heard repeatedly during the informational portion of our hearings that we're facing a veritable train wreck 10, 15 years out, and we have heard that from employers in every industry and every sector. And I would just encourage you and lend whatever support I might to making sure that we have done our very best in trying to remove every barrier that we possibly can so that anyone who desires to participate in our workforce has every opportunity possible. So
thank you.
Thank you both for your testimony today, and thank you so much for your very good efforts. They're certainly appreciated.
Thank you.
Next, we have Janice O'Malley from the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. Good morning, and welcome to our committee.
Good morning, Chair Witt and representatives of the committee. My name is Janice O'Malley, and I'm here representing Child Care Providers Together, AFSCME Local 132. And this is a newly organized group of about 4,400 registered and certified child care providers in the state. And I just wanted to recognize Representatives Kotek and Flores for the work that they've done on behalf of our child care providers, who for so long have felt like they've been a silent voice in the system. And they're such a huge part of economic development, and it seems almost like a no-brainer about how important they are to working families. And I want to speak specifically to you, Representative Dallum. I actually spent some time in the Dells, and a lot of the child care providers really felt like they were struggling as the economy there was struggling. I remember actually speaking to a provider whose husband was one of the last workers who worked in the aluminum factory. And she was afraid because, you know, as a child care provider, as an independent business owner, and with the low reimbursement rates that she receives taking care of low-income families, she couldn't afford health care. and it was hard to maintain her business. Although one of the, and, you know, also being afraid at the same time that her husband was going to lose her job at any given moment. And she was also excited at the prospects of Google coming in. And I think it's really important, and why we support House Bill 2809 is because childcare is an important resource for working families, for sure. And I'd like to say, if I may be so bold, that if businesses aren't thinking about childcare, they really should. And another part is that, you know, our providers have actually had the lowest reimbursement rates for low-income working families in the country. For about the past 12 years, there has not been an increase in subsidy rates. There's also, we also charge our families about $460 a month for a person, a three-person family that makes $24,000 a year, roughly, pays $460 more a month for co-payments. And also, right now, the federal poverty level for receiving access to child care is about 150, and we're trying to raise that to 185th, and House Bill 5031 is an important piece of that legislation. And I'd also like to speak on behalf of the 2810 and 2811, because actually these tax credits have really benefited our providers. When companies buy into this program, they're contributing to a pilot program in Lane County that really is trying to see exactly what kind of investments need to be done in order to make child care more affordable, accessible, and have some higher quality. And I think with that, I'd like to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. Yes, Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned reimbursements to providers for providing services to lower-income folks, and I'm kind of curious about that subject as to what clients specifically are providers able to get reimbursement from the state. Do they have to be TANF eligible clients? Or
yes, all the families have to be working. They're all working families, and they have to be right now at 150% of the federal poverty level or below to receive assistance.
Follow up, Mr.
Please.
So that they don't have to be TANF eligible then to get reimbursement. Do you know that?
I know that most of these parents are TANF eligible.
Okay, thank you,
Representative Gerard.
Thank you, Chairman. This is just a quick question on 2810. Does AFSCME have a position on if to extend the sunset versus the elimination of the sunset?
Well, I think that we would prefer removing the sunset just because of its importance to the child care community as well as for businesses.
Yes, Vice Chair Riley.
Follow up on that question, if I might. Do you believe that any person who's receiving or any group who's receiving a tax credit would have the same answer?
I'm not sure.
Anyone else? Janice, thank you so very, very much. Next, I'd like to call up Kathleen Haynes from the Child Care Division.
Chair Witt, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kathleen Hines. I'm the Legal and Compliance Manager with the Child Care Division, and I have with me Don Norris, who is a Special Projects Coordinator with the division, who works with the programs that are funded with the Child Care Tax Credit. And we just very briefly wanted to state that we support these bills. They've done permitted the division to develop some incredible pilot programs that are making a big difference in the lives of parents, children, and providers. And we're available to answer any questions that you may have.
Committee members, Representative Holby.
Thank you. Maybe you can elaborate on my question about providers getting reimbursement for particular clients, and, mm-hmm. and are those clients, do they have to be TANF eligible for providers to be able to service them and get reimbursement?
Chair Witt, Representative Holby, members of the committee, it's my understanding that there are several programs that offer subsidies to low-income parents who are seeking and getting child care, and they're not all TANF eligible, but there is an income limitation, and there is a parent copay requirement, and I can get you more detailed information on that. It is funded through federal funds and through the Department of Human. We contract with the Department of Human Services to administer that program to low-income families. So I can get the more detailed information on who those eligible families are from them and get it to you.
Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to call up Hazel, is it Monroy? Monroy. Monroy. And Andy Rich and Terry Hansen, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Terry Hansen, and I work at the Child Care Resource and Referral Agency, and I'm actually the project coordinator for the Child Care Enhancement Grant in Lane County, working with child care providers in Lane counties and with the families. So, and I have provider letters for you guys, and I have parent letters for you, for each of you guys to read and look at. And there is one here from a grandparent.
Wonderful. Very good.
So, and this is...
My name is Andy Rusch. I'm the director of a child care center in Eugene. And we are part of the pilot program. And we receive reimbursement. The parents receive reimbursement. And our teachers get wage enhancements through the program. And our program also receives money to enhance the program for the children.
And my name is Hazel Monroy, and I'm a in-home daycare provider. I also receive in my program the grant, the subsidy. In my case, it's been very, very hard with daycare because we have a really low... we have, a really high number of single moms, teenage moms that are just barely starting to work with more than one child that just have a really hard time staying in one daycare just because they can't make ends meet. And, you know, we're not talking about, expensive stuff. I mean, we're talking about... moms are constantly deciding between they're going to pay daycare or food. And so this subsidy for me was a big, big impact, not just for me, but for the children, my family. When you have the same family stick around because they have a low copay, I have parents that lost a job. And it's really hard to make one decent living and then lose that. How do you stay in daycare? So with this program, they'll have the same copay while they find a job, so it's much easier for them to keep the children in one daycare instead of just hopping from one to the other. And from my point of view, if this program wasn't around, I wouldn't even be able to stay in business just because if I'm not keeping the same families, you know, I'm not making a decent living for my family either, and it's just this ugly cycle. It's all a circle. We recently, since this program started, we were able to buy chairs and tables and, you know, supplies to do projects, books, you know, just things that you never really think about. How, when you don't have just the essentials for children to have a healthy, normal day, you know, where some of these children don't even have that at home. They don't have books at home. And so it's really a big impact on those people that we see every day, that we take care of their children so they can go to work without worrying about where the children are, whether they're being fed, and just whether they're going to be able to pay for it and send them to school. It's just a really, really big impact on those people that sometimes can't afford to buy a car. But yet they don't make a low enough income for state subsidy. And all my families are exactly those people that really are just kind of stuck where they're not receiving a whole lot. And I hope that if this keeps going, that a lot of the providers that I know that are where I was before can access that for not just my five families, but, you know, the others that are out there in the same boat.
In answer to your question earlier about whether or not it's only people who are on the TANF grant, a lot of the parents that are on this program are people that are not eligible for that. Mm-hmm. They make $25 over what is considered eligible. They make $100 over. And so the choice for them often is daycare or food or daycare or housing. And many of my parents have been able to move into better housing because not all of their money is going towards daycare now. And they've been able to afford to either get better housing or to do some fun things with their children, maybe to go to a movie once a month rather than having to put all their money towards childcare or all their money towards their food. It's definitely helped several of my families to move out of parents' houses, to be able to have their own home, and to be able to, you know, do something besides managing to just live, but to actually be able to have a higher quality of living.
Well, and I just wanted to mention, too, that we're working directly with the providers on professional development. We've taken some that were didn't have any professional development on the Oregon Registry to almost all of our providers being on the professional development, and we get new staff in, we get them there, providing them college-level classes, providing them with business. We had many of our family child care providers that didn't even have a contract with their parents because they didn't understand the business aspect of running a child care business. And so getting them business information. And I know that in 2005, I think is my latest numbers for family child care, there was 4,600 registered family child care in the state of Oregon, and we're impacting 10. And I know that to impact everybody, to get that quality, to get the business part down, to get this technical support, to be a person that just goes into their sites for accountability, to help them understand the different areas of importance for children to have a science area, to have music, to have outside, inside, to give up, mix up their day so they're not plugged in. Because we're educators and we're really trying to move the stigma of child care as babysitters into early childhood professionals, and that's what they are. It's early childhood professionals.
So I'm curious about the sizable number of letters that we received. Did all three of you go out and get the letters? Or?
I'm the project coordinator, so this is just a small sample. We have impacted over 100 families, and each of them has their own story. And we have impacted 12 child care sites in our participating group, and we also have 12 in our control group that are struggling. Then we've had two drop out of our control group because they can't keep families there. They can't make a living. When Hazel started, her income that before CCEP was probably around $10,000 a year, I would guess, and now it's around $24,000.
Yes, I for a period of time I had to have a job, you know, on top of doing daycare, because it gets really hard to attach to those children. And what can you do? It's so hard for us to just say to the parents, you can't pay, they can't come here anymore. And then I, for a long time, had to work at Walmart at night for my family to be well enough for me to, you know, stick to those families. So it's really hard.
Yes. And so we would have many more stories too, but I just gathered up a few in the last few days before this testimony. But I have many from last year, and I have many throughout the year where parents are contacting me, grandparents are contacting me and stuff. So.
Well, you've certainly done a very good job here. This is quite the start, let me assure you. And most all these folks are from Lane County?
The program is in Lane County. We do have Lorraine. We service a child care provider out in Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
We service a child care provider in Crestwell. Mm-hmm. And then we have the rest is a mix between Springfield and Eugene.
Well, Representatives Barnhart and Holby, Lane County is very well represented here today, both in person and by letter. Questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Barnhart.
I came in late, so I may have missed the introduction to this set of bills. And if I'm asking questions that have already been answered, I apologize. It appears from the various bits that I have heard that there's some kind of a study going on.
Yes, this is a research grant. NPC Research is controlling they're doing data. They're going into the child care provider sites and homes and observing them using the Quest model for child care on interactions, on their stuff. So their first year report, it was out in September of the first year of the project from NPC.
If I may follow up, Mr.
Please.
Chair, thank you. I have several questions in following that up. So have they issued a report last September?
We issued the first year draft, yes, of the first year results on how many families were impacted, how many children that we served, what the difference between the control group and the participating group, and where we're at. We can see that we're making a difference. Like I said, in the control group, we've had two drop out because they could not keep families in their programs, and the turnover and the costs and stuff, and chose a different field to go in, which is very, very common in early childhood. The turnover rate is huge for family child care.
And if I may, how long is the study expected to run?
The initial pilot program ends in August of 2008, so it's a three-year study.
Three-year study, okay. And I'm probably getting very rapidly past the area that you know about, but let me ask the question, and if I am past it, just say so.
Okay.
What are the expansion plans, if any, after that? Do you know?
Oh, no.
You're coordinating this piece.
I'm the one that goes into the sites and works directly with the child care providers.
Thank
you.
We would love to see it Oregon-wide.
Okay. Mr. Chair, was all this covered earlier? This whole area?
No, it was not.
Because this, I think, is a very important aspect
of it.
Yes,
it is.
And I think I feel as though we're coming at this elephant from several different angles, but we haven't seen the whole thing yet.
Yes. I believe it was Don Yes, if you please reintroduce yourself for the record.
Hi, I'm Representative Witt, Representative Barnett in the committee. My name's Dawn Norris, and I work with the Child Care Division. I'm the Special Projects Coordinator. And so this is a project that essentially with the advent of this contribution tax credit, we've been piloting of the best use of how what the outcomes of these tax credits are for providers and families. So the Lane County project is the first pilot, and we're just beginning our second pilot, and we're doing it in a research model to where we can really look at what's going to be the best impact for children and families and employers.
And if I may follow up on that,
please.
Thank you. Where's the second pilot? And how is it different from the first one?
Representative Witt, Representative Barnard, the second pilot is happening in Multnomah County.
Okay.
It's a very similar format with just a few differences. You know, as in any research, you learn stuff. You know, for lack of a better word, you learn a few things.
One hopes. Yes.
And so, you know, that continuous feedback loop is what we're looking at. So it's just starting up and working very closely with Lane County. The new Maryland States, who's doing it at the Neighborhood House, is administering that program.
And if I may, are funds being spent in any other way other than on these two pilot projects at this time?
Representative Barnard, no, there is not.
Thank you. That's very helpful. One more, if I may.
Yes.
What is the expected length of the second project, the one in Multnomah County?
Representative Witt, Representative Barnard, it's the same 3-year.
And so when would it end, assuming that it completes in 3 years?
It would be, you know, so, 09. Is that correct? 2010.
So the one in Lane County ends in 08, and the one in Multnomah County in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may.
Yes, please.
Several people have made comments about the expiration of the sunset, and it seems to me that it would be useful for the committee to have some sense as to where this research is going and what those implications are for this bill. The fact is that we have no idea at this point, from the testimony that we've had, what the implications are of it and whether what the amounts of funds actually are needed are, where they're likely to come from. Nor do we know how long the sunset ought to be extended, given the research that's being conducted and what the long-term plans might be. It would seem to me, if I may, Mr. Chair, that it's reasonable for given that one project is ending in 08, for us to make certain that some continuation of the ongoing care in Lane County would happen so that we don't dismantle the good things that have already occurred. It also makes sense that a sunset would not extend past the time of the availability of the 09 legislature to actually review the results of the 08 study, whether they suggest some other kind of action on the part of the legislature, whether they suggest an expansion of the program into the rest of the state or some other kind of action. It seems quite premature to me to be talking about a complete removal of a sunset on a program which is funded in order to do some studies that are time limited.
Thank you very much, Representative Barnhart, for making those very important points. Do any of you have anything to add in terms of the timelines of your studies and what might be helpful and or appropriate?
But we have heard how the program has made successful wage earners out of not just those that are receiving the child care, but those that are giving the child care. We have also seen, and I would expect that from these pilot programs, we would expand this program statewide. Those two facts in and of themselves would tell me we certainly want to hear what the study is or the outcome of the study, but there has been enough benefit generated that we want to start the expansion and continue the projects as long as they're working. So I don't want to see a disruption of a program that offers answers for so many people.
And that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
Yes, what are the, if this ends in 2008, what are we going to do with those families?
Exactly.
That are still going to be...
If, just for the record, that was Hazel Monroy that was just speaking. As you individually answer, just so that the record can be tracked, if you would just say your name, please, before you respond. Yes.
If I may, Chairperson Witt, Chairperson... Chair of the committee in general. This is Dawn Norris with the Child Care Division.
Yes.
I think that that's definitely the goal. The reason we've done these pilots is to really see how this program can roll out statewide. And I think essentially the legislation that lifts that cap is going to allow us to take what we've learned from these two pilots and look at continuing with the contribution tax credit and to be able to roll this out statewide so that this benefit can be out there for people across the state.
Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm definitely in favor of lifting this cap and spreading this program. And I understand that the tax credit, it will not just be for the pilot programs, but to expand it. And so I also want to see this, the results of those studies as soon as they come out to see if we're doing enough, see what kinds of things we can do better. I think these programs are great, the pilots especially, to learn what we need to do. I would like just to extend these sunsets for a good period of time, not just through the study, but I still want to see an actual sunset at some point. So.
And your study, again, was through 2010, was it?
Representative Witt, the committee. This is Dawn Norris from the Child Care Division. And, the second pilot is through 2010. And I also want to say that I will be happy to send you a copy of the initial year one report as well so that you guys can look at that.
I'm sure we'd like to see that. Now, your report for when the 2010 pilot is completed, will that report be out in 2010 too, or 2010?
Yeah, okay.
Very good. Additional other questions, Representative Holby.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank Eugene for coming up and Lane County for sharing this pilot project. As tax credits, you know, obviously important to your program, as it's, I might point out, important to a lot of businesses and families that also are eligible for this tax credit, but really appreciate your work and trying to move Lane County and the state of Oregon in the right direction with child care and helping people maintain a good standard of living at the same time.
Additional questions?
Just an additional comment.
Yes,
if I may.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. I'm a strong supporter of child care, and I have been for a long time. And I am very impressed with the results that we are seeing so far. I think it's important to note that the questions that I'm asking have to do with our attempt as a legislature to get control over the system we use of spending money through tax credits. It has nothing whatever to do with the program that you're describing, except as it relates to that issue. When we write a budget and spend money through the normal appropriations process, the legislature does that every 2 years. We have a very elaborate process for review of budget items. Organizations, departments have to come in and explain in great detail why they want the money and how they're going to spend it. The legislature, at least in the recent past, has been relatively lackadaisical, if I can say it that way, about how it handles tax credits. We are trying very hard to tighten that up so that we do a better job of spending the public's money in ways that are beneficial to the public. And so my comments that I made earlier are related directly to that issue, not to the issue of the value of child care.
Yes, Representative Dolan.
I mean, pursue Representative Barnhart's notion, because I philosophically think we're attacking the elephant from two different directions here. In your child care, the reason that you were successful is because you got a reimbursement from the state, but basically you were on your own for developing the program until child care services came in, and you made sure that there was indoor activity, outdoor activity, an appropriate snack, nap time, the appropriate number of adults to children. So what we have is rather than a state allocation, it's incumbent upon you to do the program appropriate for children so that you will maintain the tax credit. I think that philosophy of the carrot rather than the stick serves us better. But I guess that's a discussion we'll have to have here on the committee. I certainly would want, if we're going to put some sort of a parameter around the length of the tax credit, I would want that parameter to be only so that some far distant future time we're forced to take a look at the program. So I would want to give certainty to our businesswoman that she is going to have time in the business lengthy enough so that she can stake her future on it. And I don't want her to be concerned that next session she'll have to sit at the dais again, sell the same program, or her or another person. So I can go with a limit on the tax credits, but I really want it to be out there a ways so that our business can grow, develop, thrive, and come back and give us a report. And I know it's going to succeed. There's such a market. I know it's going to.
Yes, Representative Gerard.
Thank you, Chair Witt. I just would like to put my two bits with it. I usually speak for the minority. First of all, I see a tax credit as not an expenditure. I see it as it's when the social good that's derived from the tax credit outweighs the expense. And this, we get a lot of advantage by putting out the tax credit because there's a multiplier involved. People are working that wouldn't be working, and we derive tax money from that. So we're actually getting more tax money, not less. And I think that needs to be put into the record. The second thing is that I feel very strongly that because if you do not give a tax credit, and if we put a sunset on it, the sunset's only good for the first few years of the sunset. After you approach the sunset date, it's real difficult for businesses to buy off on it and to set up programs. So I just, that's my two bits.
I think what you're hearing, at a minimum, we want that tax credit to extend out for a ways. With that, I'm not seeing any other questions, not hearing any other comments. This panel, thank you so very, very much. Appreciate all the work you did in terms of getting all the support letters, and certainly appreciate your traveling this morning to make it here first thing for our hearing. Appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anyone else that would like to testify on our child care bills this morning? Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Ellen Lowe. I'm a legislative advocate for the Oregon Food Bank, and we increasingly see those families that were referenced earlier where they have to make choices, and sometimes very difficult ones. And so it is in response to those folks who come to us that I appear before you today. And I specifically want to address the Bill 2809, where there seem to be some language difficulties with the Economic Development Department and Robert Repine. But I sincerely hope there are no difficulties with the intent of that legislation, which is to make certain that as we do assist with economic development and we do respond to those requirements that are there for us from the feds to consider community needs, that we do consider the need for access to child care. And in some instances, that's Nike, and if you've ever been to their child care center, it is delightful and outstanding. But in other instances, it's making sure that you do find out if there are some folks in Spray who might be willing to have family child care. But when you heard about the folks, that they were people who, some of whom were in TANF, some were low income, but they were working, who needed child care. Those are the people who are going to be working in those facilities or whatever is part of our economic development. And I can't imagine a community needs assessment that wouldn't have a checkoff for the importance of child care for the people who work there. And so I don't see it an extra layer of planning, as was alluded to in the testimony. Believe me, it ought to be an integral part of the planning, just as housing that's appropriate for that workforce. And so I respectfully request that you put a work group together and that you come up with some language so that when we do appropriate either state or we are the conduit for federal dollars for economic assistance, that we consider the total community, and that's children as well as their parents who are part of the workforce. And with that, I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Thank you very much, Ellen. Director Repine agreed to work with representatives Flores and Kotek to iron out any of the unresolved questions around that. Excuse me. And if that's something that you're interested in, I'm sure they would more than welcome your input. So.
Thank you.
And I would, I and the rest of the committee, I know would be most appreciative too of any input that you might be able to offer. Representative Barnhart.
Mr. Chair, on that issue, I'm scanning this bill quickly, and there's a lot of language in the existing law, and I haven't gotten completely through it. But what I have read it seems the existing law is at a very high level and doesn't really mention infrastructure needs in a direct sort of way. It doesn't talk about housing or schools or any of those kinds of things, except in a very vague way. And then we have this very, very specific section that we're adding on affordable child care. And I suspect that may be the jarringness of it for Mr. Repine. And it may be that just a suggestion of the work group, it may be the way to deal with that is to put in a general comment about about development of community infrastructure, and then, you know, in a parenthesis, housing, schools, child care, retail, whatever other things might be involved in that, and get at it that way, rather than having this one specific requirement among all these very general ones. Simply a suggestion that the work group might consider.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. There was also questions about how some of the funds that are used might be applied and what impact this bill may have on those funding mechanisms. There were also questions about the unspecific nature of consider and plan for access to child care. So those are all issues among some others that several witnesses, I think, referred to. Other questions or comments? Yes, Vice Chair Lim.
And sometime in the future, I want to find out how much tax dollars has been utilized on this program and how much will be impacted in the future.
Okay.
That's a good idea, too.
Thank you.
Can you make a note of that?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Brown.
Are you interested in assigning a time when we might get the two bills? It seems as though we have some major work group on 2809 and some minor attention to 2810. Are you giving our work group any time frame from which to complete the task and return?
Those two bills, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to need any suggestions for amendments soon. I haven't set a timeline, but I also intend to be meeting with Representative Barnhart, who chairs Revenue, because 10 and 11 are both subsequent referrals to Revenue. So without answering your, giving you a specific date, near term.
Thank you.
Yes. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the suggestions that I ought to make now rather than when it gets to Revenue is that one of the rules that the Revenue Committee has when it adopts credit legislation is that there be a purpose contained in the documentation on the legislation and some kind of benchmarks that will be used to measure whether or not the credit achieved its goal. And it would be, since we've got people in the room who are interested in it, it would be extremely useful for the Revenue Committee if in the process of that bill coming over, somebody had drafted what the statement of the purpose of the credit and the ways in which the Department of Revenue or others could measure whether or not it had reached those goals, what the measurable questions are that would be answered in the affirmative if the credit achieved the goal that it was intended to have. I suspect all of that's already available, but we don't have it in the form that we can use. And the object of that is to regularize our tax credit system. And so we're going to be requiring that of everybody who wants to extend a tax credit or establish a new one. And I'll say it now while the people are in the room so they can be working on it.
That's very helpful, Representative Barnhart. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else from the public who'd like to testify on any one of these three bills? Last chance. Not seeing anyone. With that, I am going to close the public hearings on House Bills 2809, 2810, and 2811. Thank you all very, very much for your very fine testimony today. As I think everyone saw, these are bills that our committee views as very important. Any other business to come before our committee? I'd just like to note there were a number of folks from the public who were interested in House Bills 2732 and 2842, which we had originally scheduled for this Friday, I believe, Ellen. We're going to put those back a little bit. There's some folks that are still working in work groups on those and have asked for just a little bit more time. Roughly the first of April, plus or minus, is probably when we're going to get to those bills. Ellen, would you please give us a brief rundown on what we're going to be covering on Wednesday?
Yes, Chair Witt, members of the committee, on March 21st at 8 a.m. in Hearing Room C, you all will be hearing your first public hearing on House Bill 2618, which prohibits employers from entering into public works contracts for which contract price exceeds $350,000 unless the employer is an approved apprenticeship training agent. We're also having a brief public hearing on House Bill 2206, which establishes the Skill-Up Fund for the purpose of folks presenting some information about proposed -3 amendments to that bill.
Thank you very much. Not seeing any other business, we are adjourned until Wednesday.